I was going through the architecture competition's yearbook for 2020, and I wanted to go over 5 tips that I took away from this book that you can use for your architecture projects. As I was going through the book, I noticed that there were a lot of things consistent across all of the projects from different competitions, all the winning submissions. And a lot of these things I noticed do cross over, but the first one was that they're always kept simple. You can have a really, really in-depth project that's super complex, but if you can't articulate what you're trying to convey in a way that the audience can understand, then it's useless. Because if the audience doesn't understand it, the audience being either your teachers or the client or whoever you're trying to sell your ideas to, if you have really complex ideas that you can't clearly communicate, then it's going to be difficult for the audience to understand that. And so what I found through all of the architecture competitions in this book, all the winning submissions, they follow a clear strategy that is simple and easy to understand. There is always an overarching idea in each project that is used to drive their project forward. Yes, you can have a complex project, there's nothing wrong with that, but you need to be able to clearly communicate that in a way that is simple and easy to understand. And the best way to do this is by having that clear concept, that strategy, where every single detail that you make, every single decision you make for your project is then branched off of this main idea. And one of my lecturers actually used a word to describe this. I think the word was parsimonious. I'm not sure if that actually has the right meaning for what I'm trying to say. What I was led to believe by my lecturer is that it's being able to communicate your idea in one sentence or less, being able to coherently and clearly, with clarity is what I'm trying to say, express your ideas. And yeah, just a couple of key words or a sentence. For example, my last project, I used the word sandcastle. And then from every little design decision I had to make, I would always think back to this idea of a sandcastle. How would a sandcastle do it? And for example, I needed a barrier around my design because there was an ELC in the middle, which is an early learning center for children, which is where they do children teaching and stuff like that. And I needed to separate that from the public. And so my strategy to that was to, thinking back to the sandcastle, to create a moat around it. And that moat then led on to having a water reclamation system, which naturally treats wastewater on site and all this other stuff. But it branched off of this idea of sandcastle. And then how can I further separate the public from the ELC? And that was to use drawbridges, because that's what castles have and sandcastles. So it's, yeah, coming back to that original idea and then having every design decision branch off from that. And it really brings the user, or it brings the client and the audience along that journey with you. And it's really about telling that story, which we'll get into with some of these next tips. So that was tip 1, to keep it simple. And whereas I didn't keep that tip simple, I really branched off from my original ideas. That is tip 1. Keep it simple, have an overarching idea that leads and branches off to different things that will help drive your process and your design forward. And this leads into tip number 2, which was to use diagrams and illustrations to convey and communicate your ideas and your words, even really simple ones. This helps you translate your complex thoughts and ideas into things that are understandable. Diagrams aren't just for the audience to understand, but it helps you to articulate your ideas, your complex ideas, into things that are way more simple. You know, a little squiggle can communicate so much to the audience, but then it also helps you develop your own ideas and helps you understand your words and put your words into drawings, which is what architecture is all about. It's about putting your ideas into drawings, and diagrams are the first step in doing that. What I found consistent across all of these projects was that they had simple diagrams, and where they are simple, they do communicate a lot. In these projects, the purpose of the diagrams and illustrations and these simple sketches were to translate their words into drawings. So rather than having paragraphs of text, they use a diagram to sum up maybe 2 or 3 words, but it makes it a lot easier to understand. Clear articulation of your ideas is the key to being a good architect. That's what it's all about. And this leads to my next point, which was good ideas and good reasoning always trumps good visualization. And what I mean by this is that you can have a really nice looking presentation, but if it's not built off any foundation, if it's just not following the brief and it's not what is being asked, then it's pretty pointless. In two senses, it's pretty, but it's pointless. And so all of these submissions have come from strong foundations. They've come from that initial idea, which they've then bridged off of to create good visualizations to aid those ideas. But a lot of people in architecture school, they'll start with the visualizations. And if they have no ideas to back that up, then they are just visualizations with no purpose behind them. Good architecture isn't just about looking nice, but it's about the function, it's about the concept behind it, and a lot of other different things which stand behind an architecture project. So where if you just jump into the visualizations and you're just getting good renders, yes, they might look really nice, but if you can't sell your ideas from, you know, your ideas, if you're just selling a visualization, there's not much that backs that up. And so whereas a lot of these have nice visualizations, they also have come and stemmed from good ideas to start with. And this leads into the next tip, which is that good story always wins. And I thought about this when looking at the narrative competition, which is where you have to write a narrative and then build architecture from that, or build visualizations from that narrative. And where this competition was to build architecture from a narrative, I think narrative and architecture goes hand in hand. Being able to take the client or the teacher on a journey of your project from start to finish is what it's all about. If you take the teacher or client on an emotional journey, that's when they get invested in your project. That's when they get invested in your ideas, and that's when they get fired up about it and they get enthused by it, which is the key for having a successful project. If your client or your teacher isn't caring about it, or it's something that doesn't resonate with them and they haven't been taken on a journey to get to the point where you're at, they're not going to be invested in it, and they're not going to want to spend the time or the money in the real world on that. And so you need to be able to sell your ideas and to be able to sell your services, which is, you know, getting into the real world. And that happens through telling a story or telling a narrative through your work. And so you might be thinking, so far you've had four tips which are all about, you know, the ideas behind your architecture projects. How come that is the only thing that I've focused on and not the visualizations, not the renders, not the sections and plans? Because ultimately, all of these projects, that's what they have in common. They all come from strong foundations which have built upon the rest of their projects. But if they didn't have those strong foundations, their projects wouldn't be as good as they are. They wouldn't have won the competitions that they won. And so these tips might seem really abstract, but I think this is what I want you to take away, is that once you're invested in the project, it's much easier to get anyone else invested in it. And to do that, it's all in those initial ideas that get you fired up about the project. This is my fifth tip. They've all put in a lot of effort. If you want a good project, you need to put in the effort. And to do that, you have to be enthused by what you're doing. There are pages and pages and pages of these people talking about how they did their projects. And you can see they're all enthusiastic about their projects. And you can see that they've all put in a lot of effort. More effort results in better results. And from what I've noticed over the last 4 years while studying architecture is that it's hard to put effort into something that you're not passionate about, that you're not invested in. And to get invested into something, you need to make it yours. So where you get advice from your friends and your teachers telling you to do a project this way, or you might look on the internet, on Pinterest, and see a project being done one way, ultimately, it's about finding what you really enjoy about architecture and following that. It's about going with your ideas. And you can take inspiration from others, but really it's about finding what you really enjoy about the project, and then that drives it forward. That helps you spend lots of time on it because you're fired up about it. The best projects that I've had have always come from those ideas that I've been really fired up about. It's always those projects that I really just enjoy the brief and I've made it something that is mine. Take advice from others and take their inspiration from precedents and go on looking on Pinterest, but ultimately find what you really enjoy about the project and then use that to drive it forward. Your passion for your projects will result in more effort, and more effort will result in better grades. better results. And this is a little bonus tip that in architecture school, your teachers aren't looking for the best projects. They're not looking for talent. They're looking for effort. They're looking for the students who have put in the effort and pushed themselves, as opposed to those who are talented or naturally gifted at drawing, for example, or really good at using Revit, for example. I highly recommend checking out the Architecture Competitions yearbook, and you can go through it yourself to find out what some of the successful things these people did that you can apply to your own projects. I learned so much from going through this. It's, what, almost 200 pages long. It's pretty expensive, but to be honest, it's worth investing in, because I have taken out so much from these that I've managed to do like an hour's worth of content on it already. It really is just a guide to creating the best projects you can. So I highly recommend checking it out, and until next time, take care.